And read from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." And after he washed their feet, he put on his robe, and he returned to the table and said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but it is to fulfill the scripture, 'The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me.' I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly, I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. Friends, I speak to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So I have had the pleasure of meeting most of you over the last several months, but for those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul, and this is my family over here. I am, like Chad, a priest in Anak, and Father Chad took a pretty big risk, I think, asking me to preach this day, because he'd never heard me preach before, that I'm aware of. I haven't preached since June, so there's a lot backed up there. It's the witching hour, it's bedtime for these guys, and it's Holy Week. So, who knows, you know? But no, it's an honor, and I'm really excited to be able to share with you. Jesus says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." Jesus asks a question after he gets up from the from washing their feet, returns to the table, puts on his robe. "Do you know what I've done to you?" And either they're speechless or he doesn't let them answer. And then rather than explaining to them the meaning of the washing that he has done, he says, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And so my aim for the next 10 minutes is to help each of us in some way to encounter, to behold the beauty of Christ's servant-heartedness, his humility and his love. And that so each of us would thus be opened ourselves to receive this same love from him, from one another, and then with joy that that would overflow into the life, into the world, for the good of the world. This is, you know, the perennial challenge of the preacher, to say things which words are insufficient for. Jesus gives an example, and our words are insufficient. But I hope that we can see our Lord in this scene of washing his disciples' feet. John presents Jesus' act of washing the disciples' feet with this, as a series of symbolic actions, of meaningful actions. I sometimes think of the Gospel of John, it's like a Russian nesting doll that never ends. You could do it for all of Scripture, but John in particular, you open it up and there's something else that looks like the whole, but you look at it differently this way or that way, it's a different shape, and it's just endlessly opening up the same story over and over and over again. And this is one of those instances. Jesus knows that his time has come. He knows, John tells us, that the Father has given all things into his hands. This teacher, this rabbi, holds all things in his hands. St. Paul will write later in Colossians, famously, Colossians 1, he is the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things were created. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. This is Jesus, the one who holds all things in his hands, who then arises from the table and standing above his disciples, standing above the whole world as Master and Lord, some of whom will deny him, one of whom, who he has made very clear, will betray him, stands above as Lord of all things, and then proceeds step by step to turn this whole idea of what it means to be Lord upside down, of what we think it means to have power upside down. First, he stands, and then he takes off his robe. I told you it's bedtime. It's like, you know. He stands, he takes off his robe. Now understand, clothing in Scripture is incredibly important, particularly the giving and receiving of clothes and the putting on and taking off of physical and spiritual garments. It's very important. And many commentators, particularly in the early church, see this act of Jesus removing his robe, as the first of a series of actions symbolizing this descent and humility of our Lord and what it truly looks like to be ruler of all, what it truly looks like to hold all things in one hand, what true power is. He takes off his robe and then he ties a towel around his waist. He takes off the garment of rabbi, of lord, of master, and puts on the towel of a slave. Though he was in the form of God, Paul tells us, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, of a slave. And Christ is setting an example for all of us, that we would follow in his footsteps and serve one another, sacrifice for one another, enter into humility. He ties a towel around his waist, and then he pours water into a basin. The one who holds all things in his hands now pours out that water with which he will wash not only the disciples, but symbolically the whole world, not as the judgment of the flood, like in Genesis, but as the exposing and the washing away of sin. The exposing of sin, this encounter with Jesus we see in this foot washing, this intimate encounter, opening up of our hearts, exposing us to him. And we see this, I think, in the response of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrays Jesus. Jesus washes his feet, and shortly after Jesus washes Judas's feet, Judas is going to run back to the rulers of the Jews and try to undo what he has done. He has betrayed Jesus, handed him over, and he's going back and try and undo what he has done. He has seen himself for who he truly is, and Jesus for who he truly is. Unfortunately, he runs down the path that leads towards death rather than coming in confession and sorrow to Jesus, the one who freely gives life. Our Lord washes the feet of everyone, of all of us, of every disciple. He is a slave. He presents himself as a servant of the whole world. God does not stand up high and look down low in compassion, even in love. God gets down low on his knees as a slave in compassion and love. There's no other way to love. We tend to think, when we think of foot washing or washing someone's hands, we tend to think it's kind of strange. It's a little bit uncomfortable and vulnerable because we're not accustomed to being physically present to someone else in that way. We don't do this to one another often. And there's quite a lot to be said there, but that's not where I want to take us right now. The disciples are not thinking that, I don't think. Having someone wash their feet, it happened. They walked around in the desert in their sandals. There were people who washed their feet. What's shocking is who is washing their feet. It's not the slave, the household slave that they would expect. It's not the servant. It's not the one who is the lowest, but it is their master. To wash someone else is not the job of the master. It's not the job of our Lord. The master is in charge. The master has power, and others serve him. Others wash his feet out of fear because of what he can do with his power, with his authority. And this is how power in the world works. We serve those in authority out of fear because of what they can do for us. And there's a gradient of how the extent and the extremity of that. But what does Jesus do with his power as the one who holds all things in his hands? Or rather, I think a better question is, what does his power look like? What does the power of God look like? Because Jesus doesn't give up being God. He doesn't give up the power of God. Remember, he acknowledges right at the beginning that he is and remains their master and their Lord. Rather, Jesus shows us what it really means to be Lord of all, what it really means to have power. He doesn't use might or authority or status. Jesus' power is the power of love that cleanses, that forgives, that restores, that exposes us, but that then overflows to the world, right? It's a power that overflows, that multiplies. This is what love does. This is what servant-heartedness does. Might, pride, self-centeredness, whatever word you want to use, this that which is demonic power. I'm not saying it's power of the world, because that makes it seem kind of neutral. Power of the evil one is focused on our own ascendancy, our own climb, our own ascent, ourselves, and it must, in order to survive, it must make others smaller, insignificant, less, right? And weak. This kind of power is always unsustainable. It's only ever competitive and disintegrating. It looks like a zero-sum game, like the one in power is gaining everything and the one at the bottom loses everything, but actually everyone loses. Everyone loses. Jesus' power is the opposite. The image I want us to be left with: our God is the washer of feet. He's the one who cleanses us. And in this act is a picture of the whole gospel, which we are commanded, extolled, to share with one another, not just to speak to one another, but to do for one another. Do this. Jesus gives us an example. This is the true power of our God. Yes, it exposes, it convicts us of sin, as does washing one another's hands and feet. We expose ourselves, it's a vulnerability. But it compels us, as we experience this love, to share in this beautiful way of Jesus with the world. And so we do for one another likewise, as he has commanded us to do. Even as we know that this way of love, this way of servanthood, this way of humility, will clash with sin, will clash with the power of Satan, will clash with the power that dominates in our world. As it does this in our own hearts, right? And it does this systemically in the world, in our society. But as it ultimately did for Christ on the cross, this clash. But we can say, praise be to Jesus, the washer of feet, the God who does not look down upon us from above, but who stoops down low to wash the feet of all humanity. And I think to that we all say amen. All right, Father Chad.